Chapter 33, 3 o'clock a.m. Rashawn's message, coupled with Nicole's determination to get home, brought Nicole's legs back to life. They reached the road on the fourth try with relative ease. Once there, they didn't hesitate. They locked arms with Nicole in the middle and started walking, which got a lot easier when they turned to the left and had the wind at their backs. The only things they had to contend with were downed trees and flying debris. They stumbled out onto Nicole's road, bruised, cut, scraped, and out of breath, but they were alive, for which they were all very grateful. Chase looked at his GPS while they took a short rest. He wasn't sure which part of his body hurt the most. His shoulder and tooth seemed to be in sharp competition for the top spot. Half a mile to the gate, he said, covering his broken tooth with his upper lip so the wind couldn't get at it. "There's a lot of water on the road," Nicole said. Chase had been wet for so long he'd hardly noticed, but she was right. The water was up to their ankles. He tried to picture the long driveway up to the Rossi house and thought it was uphill, but he wasn't sure. He was so exhausted he was having a hard time focusing. The only things keeping him going were Nicole, who had to be more exhausted than he was, and Rashawn, who had turned out to be a bulldozer of will and endurance. "Ready?" Rashawn said. Chase nodded and was about to forge ahead when he felt something tickle his leg. He reached down to itch it and realized what it was. "Wait." He pulled the sat phone out of his pocket and took it out of the plastic bag. "Hello?" "Where are you?" His father's voice sounded a million miles away. "About a half mile from the farm," Chase shouted above the wind. "The bus sank." "Are you okay?" "Yeah." "Is the bus driver with you?" "He's dead. I'm with Nicole Rossi and a girl named Rashawn. Where are you?" "On the other side." "What?" "We're Lake Saw Light." "Is that your father?" Nicole asked. "What's he saying?" "Hang on," Chase said. He squatted down and pulled the blanket over his head to get the phone out of the wind and rain. Chase, I'm here, but you're breaking up. "Get to, will be, as soon as..." The phone went dead. Chase put the phone back in the plastic bag and came out from under his makeshift shelter. "That was my father," he reported to Nicole and Rashawn. "It was a lousy connection, but I think he's on the other side of the lake. He may have seen our headlamps on the other end of the levee. He's going to try to get them to the farm. That's all I can tell you." "So that phone of yours works," Rashawn said. Chase shook his head. "It worked for about 20 seconds, then it went out. If I can get it dried out, it might come back on. Let's go." They locked arms and started up the road with Nicole back in the middle, but this time they weren't holding Nicole up. They were holding one another up. None of them could have made it without the others. As he leaned into the final stretch with his friends, Chase couldn't help but think about how the night would have gone if Dr. Krupp had listened to him. They'd be in the cafetorium, in the dark, with the wind roaring outside, but safe, uninjured, with their bellies full from raiding the coolers and vending machines. The bus driver would be alive at home with his family, if he had a family. Chase didn't even know the bus driver's name. And what about his father and Tomas? Chase was certain his father was worried about him, but there was nothing he could do until the storm passed. Save yourself. You're no good to anybody if you're dead, including yourself.